Sports Hub.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
1-1. Line shot down into the corner. That's all the way to the wall. It's a fair ball, and that's a winner. Here comes Owings in to score. And that quickly, the Red Sox win the ball game, 5-4. And Brock Holt sliding into home plate as the Red Sox celebrate the win. Long time coming. It was 2 weeks. If you bought tickets for this one, I hope you kept the car running.
I have to say this. All in all, kind of a fun day at Fenway Park yesterday. I know that's not normally what we do on this show, have fun. That was kind of fun yesterday at Fenway Park. It's Matt McCarthy in for Tony Maz tonight. Sorry, Boston. We got Jimmy Stewart behind the glass, Brian Robb as well. 617-779-0985. I thought there was a lot to take away from only 12 minutes of baseball yesterday. So I want to ask you this, and we'll get to you on the phones in a second. Again, 617-779-0985. Was yesterday a good thing or a bad thing for baseball? And to me, the answer is both. Like, there really is no simple answer to that, but to me, the answer is both. It was bizarre, that's for sure. But kind of cool, too, right? Like, that was uniquely baseball, wasn't it? It's one of those things that would not happen in any other sport. It wouldn't happen in the NBA, wouldn't happen in football. It was a weird little quirky baseball thing. And that's, if you truly love baseball, you like the little quirks about the game. You like the weird things that happen. And that was weird yesterday, and that was bizarre, but it was fun in the end, too. I thought Sean McAdam summed it up beautifully in his game recap for Boston Sports Journal. As he wrote, "It was, when all was said and done, what Red Sox baseball has seldom been in 2019. Affordable, quick, and ultimately successful." All of those things true. But here's the problem. It never should have happened. That absolutely never should have happened yesterday. The only reason that game existed, the only reason that weird thing happened yesterday at Fenway Park, is because the Red Sox and the Royals couldn't play a 9-inning baseball game in less than 4 freaking hours. And that is the problem with the sport right now. That is brutal. Everything about yesterday reminded us why baseball is great, and also at the same time reminded us why baseball is struggling. Now, the Red Sox thought it was a good day. If you read Sam Kennedy and Jason Mastrodonato's article after the game, they're thinking of doing the same thing again, having 10, 15,000 tickets set aside for kids, let them in for free, let them take over the ballpark, have a kids' day at the ballpark. I think that's a great idea. You absolutely have to make an investment in the future of the sport, the future fan base of the Boston Red Sox. You need to make an investment in that, because if you don't have young people liking your sport, you don't have a sport. And that's just a fact. And the problem is here is that baseball is in danger of losing an entire generation of fans. I mean, in some way they already have, right? Take a look at the TV numbers in the 25 to 54 demographic. They are just dreadful. 55 plus, baseball kills it. As Felger mentioned earlier today, you're reading a newspaper still, you probably love baseball. That generation loves the sport. They're not the problem. They watch it in droves. That's why the World Series, you know, kicks the NBA Finals ass in the television ratings every single year, because people 55 plus are watching the sport and they're watching it in droves. And if you don't believe me that the World Series is still crushing the NBA Finals and the TV ratings, look it up. It's true. But the problem is it's not going to be that way forever. If you fail to connect with the next generation of fans, you won't have a next generation of fans. So giving them access to a baseball game is awesome. Like yesterday, it was a great, great atmosphere at Fenway Park. That's a good first step, and I hope the Red Sox actually follow through on that plan to make baseball more accessible to kids, to those 18 and under. But my concern and my question is this. What happens when they get there? What happens when they don't watch a 12-minute game, where everybody has some fun, everybody gets a hot dog, and everybody goes home happy? What happens when you show them a product that takes 4 hours every night? A game where nobody hits the ball anymore, a million strikeouts and some home runs. Like, home runs are cool, don't get me wrong, but they're not cool when that's the only thing that happens in baseball on a nightly basis. Strikeouts and home runs. You need the ball to be put in play. Over the last 10 years in baseball, from 2009 to 2018, the number of balls in play has dropped by 10,000 a season. 10,000. 40 years ago, the average time a game in baseball was 2 hours and 35 minutes. It's now 3 hours and 10 minutes. Hell, look at Wednesday's game. It took 3 hours and 40 minutes. There were only 7 runs scored between the Red Sox and the Phillies. This is not sustainable. The game is dying on the vine, and I just want to know why people just won't wake up and they won't do anything about it. So the key to me is this. The product needs to change, but you need to find a way to make a meaningful change in baseball without actually changing the sport. Because the people who don't love baseball want to make drastic changes. They want to limit the innings. They want to limit the pitchers. They want to put runners on second base to start innings. Just crazy stuff, at least to me. But I'm a baseball lifer. That, to me, is not the answer. But the problem is people like me, too, who love baseball and they're not willing to change anything. The old timers who are saying, get off my lawn when it comes to this sport. Baseball, love it or, you know, don't follow it. Love it or leave it, baseball. The problem is people are leaving the game and you are not going to have a sport if they do. You need to find that happy medium. Jimmy Stewart, you and I were talking earlier on today before the show, just about yesterday. Do you think yesterday was a good day or bad day for baseball and a good product or a bad product for the Red Sox?
I think it was a bad day for baseball because you played an 11-minute game. But what it did do was it gave the Red Sox and the rest of baseball a good idea going forward. And that's if you're going to have a day game, 10,000, 15,000 tickets are $5 general admission. You come, you spend a day, you run the bases after the game. That helps get kids engaged. What was bad for baseball was bringing back seemingly a meaningless game and playing it for 12 minutes.
Well, the game, again, the reason why you were playing that game is because the Red Sox and the Royals couldn't play in 4 hours or less 2 weeks ago. That's the problem right there. Sure, you made it accessible to kids. You got kids interested in baseball at least for 12 minutes. But if you bring them back for one of those 4-hour games, they're going to go right the other way.
But were they there for the 12-minute finish of the game, or were they there to run the bases, experience Fenway Park? Because the pricing to get into Fenway Park is higher than it should be. Would you rather spend $400 for two people, food, parking, and I'll just use 400 as a random number, an expensive number, or would you rather sit on your couch with your big TV and you can cook dinner at home for, say, $50?
Yeah, and the problem is, by the end of the night, you're probably not watching the baseball game because it's taken 4 hours and you've moved on to something else. The answer there is obvious. You'd rather spend the $50. You do something else with your evening. Maybe you follow it, maybe you don't, but you're not as engaged as you once were. And that's the problem that baseball is facing right now. It's ultimately an issue that they're going to have to deal with. And you're not going to have a future of this game if you fail to connect with the younger generation of people. 617-779-0985. How do you fix baseball, though? Because we can say that the game needs to be fixed and nobody actually gives you reasons or, you know, gives you ways to actually fix the game.
Cut teams, expand the strike zone.
I love expanding the strike zone. I've got my three-point plan.
Swing the bat. There's a reason you have it. It's not just a prop.
Jimmy, I've got my three-point plan to save baseball. We can get into that, I think, on the other side in the segment. My three-point plan, it's not going to change the game. I told you this is going to be an hour of Matt McCarthy tries to save baseball. That's basically what's going to happen here. Three ways baseball can make meaningful change without actually changing the game and appeasing everybody. Because again, the problem is, if you make too many drastic changes to baseball, you alienate people like me. If you don't make enough changes to baseball, you're not going to bring in the fringe fans, the people on the outside, the people who have maybe moved away from the game. You need to find a way to do it. And guess what, baseball? I've got the way to do it. 617-779-0985. Before we do that, let's go to Dave in Nashua. Dave, you're first up tonight on the Baseball Reporter's Matt McCarthy in for Tony Mazz.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, I had an idea that I haven't heard anybody mention before on how to change the pace of play without changing the rules of the game or the way that it's played at all. And it involves just bringing technology into the game. It seems like you waste a lot of time on signal calling and trying to conceal, you know, so that nobody steals signals and, you know, signaling to the field players and, you know, relocating them, shifts and all of that stuff. If they just put earbuds, you know, on the pitchers, catchers, the position players, and allowed everybody direct communication, you know, between their coaches and how I want you to align and what's the next two or three pitches, and you just get in there, hit the ball, throw the ball, and you know, there's not all these delays and all of these gyrations that are time wasted trying to keep the other guy from knowing what your call is.
Yeah, Dave, this is something baseball actually tried out, I think, in Nationals camp this year. They had the catcher essentially wearing one of those Apple Watches or basically a device to communicate with the pitcher so they didn't have any signs, which would be a perfect way to speed up the game a little bit. Sign stealing is slowing the game down. Just add a little technology. You're not changing the character of baseball. You're not changing the rules at all. That's a way to speed up the game. Baseball can implement little things like that that could make a big difference. We can get into, I've got my three-point plan. I've teased that on the other side. And your thoughts as well. 617-779-0985. Matt, Patrick, Andrew, I see you on the line. We'll get to you in a second. And room for you as well. Matt McCarthy in for Tony Maz tonight on the Baseball Reporters.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5. Thus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the most fun I think probably all of us have had playing baseball. I mean, 17 inning game. It was kind of like a do or die. It felt like, you know, if we got three outs, all we need is a run. And that's kind of a cool feeling, you know, knowing that you could end it in, you know, one inning. It was fun. It was a cool feeling, cool atmosphere today. And, you know, we're thankful that it lasted as short as it did and we can get on this flight and head to San Diego.
Fun in baseball? There are two things that exactly haven't gone hand in hand in recent years. Fun, quick, enjoyable, lots of kids in the ballpark. Yesterday was a good day for many reasons. Brock Holt after the game. It's a walk-off hit 12 minutes in. Matt McCarthy in for Tony Maz tonight, 617-779-0985. Maz is Rodenheiser Heat Zone, Who's Hot, brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. It's got to be Xander Bogaerts, two home runs in the last two games. Of course, that doesn't count the game that happened yesterday, which officially counts for August 7th, by the way. So the Red Sox are technically on a two-game losing streak right now. Game went back to August 7th. They lost Tuesday and Wednesday. Technically, a two-game losing streak, which is one of those weird, quirky, fun little things that can only happen in baseball. I mentioned before the break, I had my three-point plan to fix baseball, and we've got room for you on the phone, 617-779-0985. One open line for you. We'll get to your thoughts in just a second. Three easy, quick fixes to make the game better. Number one, you absolutely have to implement a pitch clock next year. You absolutely have to do this. 15 seconds, nobody on base, get the ball and throw it. Mandate the pitcher throw the ball. It's going to diminish velocity. It'll increase balls in play. That's all good for baseball. Hell, I don't even think you need a pitch clock with runners on base. You don't need to change the game that much. You can let the game slow down then. That's fine. But these guys is hanging around the mound, walking around the mound, 30, 40 seconds in between pitches, the game is becoming interminable. As a result, implement the pitch clock with nobody on, 15 seconds, get on the mound and throw it, please. After that, Jimmy Stewart alluded to this, expand the strike zone. That's point two. Force the hitters to swing the bat. Diminish the number of walks in the game, put balls in play. Force hitters to put their bats on the ball, force hitters to swing. You don't have to do a drastic expansion. Just a small expansion. Move the game along a little bit. The game didn't change too much in 1968 when they lowered the mound, right? Just a little tweak. You're not changing the sport. You're not changing the makeup of the game. Just expand the strike zone a little bit. That's an easy fix. And finally, if you change the game the way that the game is presented on television, that will make a huge difference. Let's say, for example, you cut out a minute in between half innings. Just 1 minute. You put some commercials in between pitches, fewer commercials between half innings. You save 18 minutes right there. Now you're playing a 250 game instead of a 310 game. What a difference. And then you don't have to change anything else. Let the game stay the same. Really, it's not that hard, guys, right? Matt's in the truck. What's up, Matt?
Hey, so I totally agree with what you were just saying there at the end, you know, your third point specifically. But the point that I was calling to make was that I was thinking about everything you were saying in the context of, you know, my experience with this. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I took her to a Red Sox game just a couple of weeks ago. The game went pretty long. It was over by 11:30. It was over 4 hours long. And she loved every minute of it, and she was begging me to stay longer even though the game was already over. And so it started making me think about what you're talking about. It's weird because I don't think ticket sales have diminished at Fenway Park at all. I could be wrong about that, but it's more like the way that it's presented on TV that's the problem. As the attention span of the younger generations has dwindled, you know, so too has the willingness of those people to sit through 4 hours of baseball on TV.
Yeah, but Matt, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's not just the younger people, though. It's people like me. All right, I love baseball. I mean, this is what I do. I do the podcast here, Hardcore Baseball. I live, breathe, eat, sleep, die by the sport. I can't sit there for 4 hours every night. If I can't sit there, if Jimmy Stewart can't sit there, if the real baseball diehards can't sit there and watch this game on a night-in, night-out basis, what about the fringe people? What about the people who have been driven away by baseball in recent years? How are you going to get them back? You got to bring in young fans, as you mentioned. You got an 11-year-old daughter. You got to bring her in. Maybe she loves the game. Is she going to love it if it's 4 hours every single night? I don't care. This isn't a generational thing. This, and you know, whatever. Nobody has time for 4 hours, whether you're 50 years old or 5 years old. Pace of play is the major problem in baseball right now, at least one of them. Patrick's in the car. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, man. I was just wondering if anyone has floated the idea of simply making home plate wider, maybe like the width of a ball on each side. I think that would have a dramatic effect on the game in a whole bunch of ways. So I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can make home plate wider. You can just expand the strike zone. You can call the high strike in baseball. Letters to the knees. Like, that's not called anymore. Just expand the strike zone a little bit. Have guys swing the bat. You know, this goes back to Moneyball and the increase in walks in baseball. The lack of, you don't have a lot of balls put in play right now. As I said, 10,000 balls in play diminished over the last 10 years. 10,000 a season. You force them to swing the bat. They put the ball in play a little bit more. You get more action. Easy fix. Andrew's in Taunton. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, McCarthy. I think my thing in the grand scheme of things is kind of minute, and it probably won't even speed up baseball, but I want to eliminate the worst thing in sports, and that is the lazy throw over to first base. That's the number one thing that's going to get me to change the channel. When I see that's starting, I'll watch anything else on TV but that. I say you can throw over to the base twice. After that, the runners get a free release, and if you do anything as a pitcher, throw that ball to home plate, it's an automatic balk, and they get the base.
All right, Andrew, thanks for the call. This is where I start to draw the line a little bit. Again, I think the key for baseball is to make meaningful change without actually changing the sport and really the way it's played. And if you limit the number of pickoffs, like, does that really make a huge difference in the grand scheme of things? It's like the intentional walk. Okay, you know, all of a sudden you can just automatically issue an intentional pass. Does that really change anything about the game? Does it really make it that much better? I get that sometimes it can get a little bit interminable with a runner on first base and repeated pickoff throws. But hell, the stolen base really isn't a thing in baseball anymore anyway. And if you're really throwing over 2, 3, 4 times, it's because you think that guy's going to steal a base. And when the ball goes to home plate, chances are he's going to second. So I don't see that as necessarily one of the things you have to fix about baseball. Maybe you do. Alex in Salem. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's up?
So I'm 28. I played baseball all the way up until high school. lost a complete interest for it. And I think a big contributing factor to a lot of younger folks losing interest is the lack of visibility in, like, the newer styles of media. I mean, you have one decent baseball game available only to PlayStation. So you're cutting out a huge portion of fans that would love to play a baseball game. Same thing. I was growing up, I was playing backyard baseball every single day.
Ken Griffey Jr. for N64. We're the same age, Alex. Big deal.
Exactly. And it's you know, people hate the video games, stuff like that, but it's going to bring people in. And you're look at the NFL last year for the Super Bowl. They did a Rams Patriots Fortnite event. I don't even play Fortnite, but I definitely logged in and bought the $10 Patriots skin for, you know, who knows when I decide to play. So, you know, they got to be open up their licensing a little bit more. I mean, we were watching Mark McGwire smash home runs, and I went out and bought the Mark McGwire Nerf bat.
Yeah, of course, we all did, Alex. Thanks for the call. 20 years ago, name the top five biggest athletes in the country. Three of them were probably baseball players: McGwire, Sosa, Griffey. Like, go back to the 99 All-Star game. Those were the kings of sport in America because they marketed those players. They marketed that home run chase. Everybody was watching. You and I both went out and bought the Nerf home run bat that Mark McGwire was hawking to us during Saturday morning cartoons as kids, because that's what they did. Baseball players were all over the place. And at some point in the last 20 years, baseball has lost their way and they have failed to market the stars of the game. It's not the talent in baseball that's the problem right now. You're looking at generational talent. The quality of play, in many ways, the quality of the talent in the game is as good as it's ever been. Look at a guy like Vlad Guerrero Jr. coming up from the minor leagues at 20, 21 years old this year and just hitting bombs in the home run derby. Who doesn't love that? Ronald Acuna is a great young player. Juan Soto is a great young player. Rafael Devers is 21 years old. If the Red Sox didn't suck, he could be MVP of the American League. The talent is as good as it's ever been. You're drawing from different parts of the world. The talent pool is greater than it's ever been. Yet baseball has totally failed to market those stars to the country, and that's a huge issue. But how do you market your game if somebody who's maybe interested in baseball goes to a game and sits there for 4 hours and gets bored at the end? Really, because I don't care what sport it is. If a football game took 4 hours, nobody would want to watch that either. All right, it doesn't matter the sport. Football, basketball, hockey, baseball. If it's taken 4 hours, ain't nobody got time for that. Baseball needs to figure that out, and it kind of seems like they still haven't figured it out. With all the talk that they've done about pace of play, they really haven't put any real initiatives into the game to speed things up. Again, 40 years ago, the average time of play in baseball, 2 hours and 35 minutes. Has the game changed fundamentally since then? Still 9 innings? Still got to get 3 outs? 3 strikes are out? It's not like the game has totally changed. Why is it taking 40 minutes longer? You can reverse that. Only if you get serious about it, though. Real quick, Casey's in California before the break. Hey, Casey.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love what you're doing.
Thanks.
Two things. Ken Griffey Jr.'s Slugfest was by far the best baseball game that I ever played.
Awesome.
And it coincided with the All-Star game that was here in 99, the Fan Fest. Mm-hmm. That was pretty sweet. But my main thing is, what's wrong? Convince me. Why can't just cut the games down, keep everything the same, cut the games down to 7 innings? What's wrong with that? I mean, I know the union will probably be up in arms, but 7 innings.
All right, so Casey, here's where I have an issue with that. That's where you're fundamentally changing baseball. I don't think you need to fundamentally change the game to fix pace of play. You don't need to cut innings. You don't need to limit the number of pitchers that come into games. Expand the strike zone. Put a pitch clock in. That would be, I guess, the most fundamental change. Pitch clock, no runners on. Get on the mound and throw it. That's the way they used to do it. All right, watch some of the footage from the old World Series. The biggest game of the year. I mean, watch Don Larsen's 1956 perfect game in the World Series. He gets on the mound and he throws it. If you change the culture and you mandate throwing the baseball, everything will go in line with that. But you don't need to cut the game down to 7 innings. You don't need to fundamentally change the sport. I just reject that notion entirely. All right, 617-779-0985. Got one open line for you. Grab it. Matt McCarthy in for Maz tonight. Yeah, we're doing an hour of fixing baseball. Because you know what? Yesterday was a good day for baseball, and it wasn't at the same time. It was great. It was fun. It was fast. And the only reason it existed is because two stupid baseball teams couldn't play in less than 4 hours. That is an issue. We'll continue to fix the sport on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, McCarthy in for Maz tonight on the Baseball Reporters. Sorry, Boston, you really get no reprieve. 617-779-0985. Full phone lines right now. So when somebody jumps off, you jump on, join the program. Yes, we're fixing baseball. Fixing baseball one take at a time tonight. At least doing my part. At least you're doing your part. Do you really want me to talk about this Padres series? Boston, a 10-10 start. Red Sox essentially out of the playoff race against a garbage Padres series. You really want me to do that, Jimmy? Do you want me to do that?
Matt, name me a player on the Padres other than Manny Machado.
Chris Paddock, starting pitcher for the Padres tonight.
You're the only one in Boston who knows that.
How about Fernando Tatis Jr.? Is he hurt right now? Something like that?
You're asking Boston and they don't know.
No, Boston doesn't know, and frankly, they don't care, and frankly, they shouldn't care because of the state of this Red Sox team and the state of baseball, most importantly. But you can care about winning money. Winning money is good, right? It's time for our fantasy pick of the night, brought to you by DraftKings. Play free fantasy baseball this season with promo code Boston when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. That's code Boston, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good value tonight. Zach Greinke, only $8,800 against the Angels. Why, you might ask? Apparently, he's got crappy stats against the Angels. I guess they light him up. I'll still take Zach Greinke against that awful Angels team for $8,800. There's your pick tonight. You can thank me later. All right, back to the phones. Again, let's go longest order of wait here. Steve's in the car. What's up, Steve?
Hey, McCarthy. So, my thing is, I think that we need to have something to invest in and night out. So why not put a point system on each individual series?
Yeah, this has been a suggestion that Maz has made in the past. It's a little radical for my liking. Maybe you could talk me into it. Basically, Maz has said, if you sweep a series, you get an extra point. Basically, you do a point system like hockey. I don't know. I think wins and losses are still good in baseball. Let's not overcomplicate things. I don't want to be looking at row stats like regular season overtime wins like in hockey. I don't want to be doing that. Okay, I don't want 3 points for a series win, 2 points for it's too complicated. What I think baseball could do to make the regular season more interesting and more meaningful and more impactful is limiting the number of divisions in baseball, because let's not forget baseball plays the longest regular season. I mean, how could we forget? It's interminable. It goes on forever. But back in the day, it used to be important. It used to matter because, well, there were no divisions, or then there were two divisions. And the division races meant something. It's where the term pennant race comes from. Like, I mean, we could go back to 67. The Red Sox were competing with like four other teams at the end of 67. I think Minnesota and Detroit, and Detroit, until the final day of the year. The regular season meant something. These games in August meant something. Every game meant something because there was only one division at the time. There was only one league. You were going up against 10 teams. You're not in a division of four or five teams where, okay, there's one really good team, and then that team has a six-game lead at this time of the year. It makes the regular season less important. You need to find a way to make the regular season more important in baseball. They've tried that with the second wild card. It's worked in some ways, but baseball needs to be more aggressive in making the games in June and July and August mean something. It's not just about the final week in September for four or five teams in the National League in the wild card race. You need to create more division races, more of a pennant race feel. That's where you can make a meaningful change in baseball. Why does the American League and National League Central have to exist? American League West, National League West, American League, you run down the list. All of a sudden, you've got eight teams in a division, seven or eight, means a little something. There's a meaningful change baseball could make as well. Pete's in Arlington. Hey, Pete.
Hey, two ideas, one to speed up the game and another one just to attract more viewers. The first is, if you get two strikes with keeping the bat on your shoulders, you're out. And the next point is you got to allow more home plate collisions and stop regulating that.
All right, Pete, thanks for the call. I hate the two-strike thing. Again, we don't need radical change in baseball. That's my point all along. Like, if you're making radical changes in baseball, you're going to drive people like me away. You're going to drive people like Jimmy away, the real baseball diehards. But you've got to find a way to get those fringe people back without changing the character of the game. That's the challenge that baseball faces. And so far, they've been unsuccessful in meeting that challenge.
Matt, maybe the change that baseball needs is a philosophy change in this. A walk isn't as good as a hit. I always believe in swinging the bat, and it's a matter of launch angle needs to go,
right,
and actual players who are going with pitches. One of the joys of the Red Sox is J.D. Martinez will hit the ball to right center field.
Or Devers off the left field
wall. Devers will go to left field.
Yeah, it's a joy to watch. You're totally...
They go with the pitch.
Right. You're totally right, Jimmy. The philosophy of baseball has hurt the game, too, because it's become very analytical. It's launch angle. Well, a strikeout really doesn't matter because you're going for the extra base hit. That's how you have a decrease in balls in play. That's how you have a decrease in action. Strikeouts mean nothing in baseball. When Pedro Martinez was striking out 17 guys a night, it meant something because he was doing it in an era where teams were striking out six times a game and not nine times a game. Okay, and he's doing it up against juiced hitters, and it meant something, and it was exciting. Like, look at Chris Sale. I mean, he was, third in the American League all year long in strikeouts, and the guy sucked all year. Strikeouts don't mean anything because the philosophy of the game has changed. You're totally right about that, Jimmy. Baseball needs a shift in its philosophy.
It's the idea that the strikeout as an out is better than grounding out to the second baseman, even though there's a runner on second base, and grounding out to the second baseman might get the runner from second to third, and now you have two outs but a runner at third. They don't value the situational baseball stuff.
So stuff like that appeals to you and me, like the really hardcore baseball people, but the fringe baseball people, Jimmy, would say, oh no, I want more home runs because that's exciting. I feel like the current trend, though, in baseball and the current state of baseball proves that that's not necessarily true. Because, yeah, there are a ton of home runs in baseball, and who doesn't love a good home run? Chicks dig the long ball. It's true. The home run chase in 98 saved the sport 20 years ago. But when it's all that's happening in baseball and there's no action around that, you're not having the single to right field followed by the home run. That's where the issue becomes big. 617-779-0985. Jim is in Quincy. Hey, Jim.
Yep,
Jim.
Yes, hi. Just two quick points. I could get behind, I think someone mentioned earlier, widening of the strike zone. I could get behind that, but that's not my primary thing I would like to change. I would say that limiting the shift, not eliminating it, but limiting the shifts allowed, let's just say you always had to have two infielders on each side of the field, cut it, you know, from home plate to second base. That's one thing I'd like to see happen. And another thing with baseball philosophy and as a whole is licensing. Somebody mentioned video games. That's a great point. But also social media interaction. They don't allow any of their content to be used outside of their own license. And I think that's a load of crap. You look at the NBA. That's how they become very popular. So,
all right, Jim. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Baseball has floated the idea of litigating the shift and, you know, not allowing, you know, certain guys, you know, and basically implementing rules, banning the shift. I don't think you need to do that. You just need hitters to go the other way. They're going to shift on you. Tell you what, why don't you bunt it down the third baseline for a hit? Is it really all that hard? Like, they're going to shift on Jackie Bradley Jr. Hey, Bradley, why don't you bunt it down the third baseline and take the base? All right. But in this day and age, and it goes to Jimmy's point, baseball needs a philosophy change because some nerd is sitting there saying, a single is not really all that valuable. You want to try? Like, that's not, you need a change. So what, you want a home run, the chance of a home run over a free base? That's the point baseball has gotten to right now, and that's a real issue. All right, 617-779-0985. I think we've got a fully loaded night program. Fairly certain that's the case. Jones and Arcand going to bring you into darkness here, Boston, starting up in a few minutes. We'll continue to take your calls and fix baseball and complete our hour of fixing the sport. After this hour, there will be no problems left in the game. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, McCarthy in for Maz tonight. Jimmy Stewart, I have to say I am overjoyed that we have gone essentially a full hour without acknowledging the Red Sox-Padres game tonight, which again, 10-10 Eastern. I will say decent...
Except for mocking the Padres.
Right. I will say decent pitching matchup tonight, but I mean, did you really, Boston? Did you want to talk about that game for an hour? No. Please.
I think people would want to stomp on the grave of Manny Machado, though.
I'm sure they would, which is why... He is a part of our Big Y matchup of the night. Now it's time for the Big Y, the big matchup of the night. It's presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. I was surprised by these numbers. Manny Machado against Eduardo Rodriguez, really one of the only matchup histories we have. Sox and Padres don't play each other all that often. Machado does not hit Rodriguez well. Career 6-for-33, a 182 average, 2 doubles, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. Wasn't one of the home runs that he hit, though, as part of that whole kerfuffle between the Red Sox and Machado a few years ago. I think that was off Rodriguez, which I think is why I thought that he was going to have better numbers against Rodriguez. He does not. Rodriguez owns that ass. So if you're staying up tonight to watch, and again, more power to you, I'm not going to make it to the end of this thing. And if I'm not making it to the end, you're probably not making it to the end either. I'm just making that assumption. There's something to watch for. All right, before Jones and Arcan come in, we'll take a few more of your calls. Jason is in New Hampshire. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, man? Just to mix it up a little bit, and, you know, it's evident that Mookie doesn't want to be here, and, like, what you think would be a reasonable package you get in return, you know, obviously, like, you know, heavy on prospects, heavy on pitching, and then in a strange turn of events, what do you think years and dollars it would take to keep Mookie here?
All right, so real quick on that, Jason, I reject the notion that Mookie Betts doesn't want to be here. I think this is a narrative that has developed over the last few years, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I'm not necessarily sure if it's based in any truth or fact, and here's why. Every time the Red Sox have approached Mookie Betts with a contract offer, he's rejected it. So there's been this assumption that Mookie Betts doesn't want to be here. Look at the offers they've made to this guy. 5 years for $100 million at the age of what, like 23, 24? Coming off a near MVP season in 2016, insulting. They took this guy to arbitration over $3 million. $3 million. Insulting. They offered him 8 for 200 when he's on the verge of getting 10 for 340 or something like that. Why would he take those deals? Why? So the suggestion that Mookie Betts doesn't want to be here, maybe it's true, but I also just think that's not based in truth. It could be true. I don't know. But look at the Red Sox and look at their end of this. Have they done what they're supposed to do to try and keep Mookie Betts? And the answer is a resounding no. That's the only fact that we know in this. Maybe Mookie doesn't want to be here. Maybe that's true. But we know the Red Sox haven't really done anything to keep him here. As far as what you get for him, you contact the Atlanta Braves and see if you can get some of their pitching prospects. They've got the best pitching prospects in baseball. 4 guys in the top 100. 4 pitchers, 6 prospects in total. You contact the Dodgers, they've got a top pitching prospect in Dustin May. They call him Ginger Guard because he looks like Noah Syndergaard, but he's a ginger. I'd like that guy. Bring me Ginger Guard. Justin's in New Bedford. Hey, Justin.
Oh, hey, guys. Two things. You mentioned earlier about putting a pitch clock on the count. That, I think that's a great idea. What about for like overtime or extra innings, I should say, like limit that at 12. I also think it was mentioned earlier about licensing. I don't think the MLB outside of major markets has a star that everybody wants to tune in and watch.
All right, Justin, thanks for the call. I don't think you need to change extra innings in baseball. That's not the problem. It's the nine-inning game every night that's the problem. It's the nine-inning game that's taking 3 hours and 45 minutes. That's the issue with baseball. It's not the weird 14-inning game where they play until 1 in the morning. You can have a few of those in a season. That's not going to impact anything. Nobody cared about extra innings 20 years ago when pace of play wasn't a problem in baseball. All right, you got to fix the nine-inning game first. Paul's in Lexington. Paul, you got to go quick.
All right. You know, I think the point is that it's taken 20 years to get to this point in baseball, and to change the culture overnight by just legislating certain rules isn't going to make it. You're not going to be able to tell these guys how to change their approach to hitting and stuff like that. There's got to be a more fundamental approach, and I think it's got to start maybe earlier in the years with kids and change their approach to the game, and that's going to take some time. In order to get where you might want to go, because you just can't change the rules overnight. The Players Association wouldn't go for stuff like that. It would be really difficult to do without really fundamentally change the game. So I think you got to start a lot earlier. It's going to take a lot of time, and who knows what's going to happen until we get there. I got a 30-year-old who doesn't want to watch the baseball. He'll watch every other sport, but to say that you're going to, you know, you're not going to bring in a pitcher for two guys, you can't do that.
All right, Paul, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're right. It does need to start at a young level, ground level. But you know what? You need to have the rules to go along with it, too, to encourage pitchers to, I don't know, throw the damn ball. They've got the pitch clock in the minor leagues, but all of these guys come up from the minor leagues. Now they're not forced to throw the ball, and they don't throw the ball. I don't disagree for one second that you need to change it on a fundamental level, that the culture of the game needs to change and the players need to move it along the way the game used to be played. Back in the day, not to go all old school and old timey on you, but you've got to have some rules to legislate that too. All right, Adam Jones and Christian Arcan coming up. Jones, how do you feel that my dying sport still crushes your sport, your sport's premier event in the ratings every year, World Series, crushing the NBA Finals in the World Series in the TV ratings? Yeah. How do you feel about
that?
Well,
that's just one little 2-week stretch for your sport.
It's only the most important 2-week stretch.
Sure.
Oh, wait, that's right. I forgot. The playoffs, actually, the on-court product in the NBA doesn't matter. It's more about the off-court drama. I forgot. I'm sorry. It's my bad.
If you think more people are interested in baseball than basketball, I just don't know what to tell you.
That's not true. And, okay. And besides, everybody, you know, all those people watching the World Series will probably be dead in the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the numbers would indicate.
I would just expect those numbers to just decline year over year over year.
That's
over year. Not to be too dark.
No,
I just expect those to decline very, very steadily as baseball fans age out.
We call that the Mufasa theory. It's the circle of life. The circle of life. So we got to get young people involved in the game. Again, apply the Mufasa theory to baseball.
Yeah. So that looked like a lot of people interested in changing baseball there, McCarthy.
A lot of it. Full phone lines for an hour, Jones. There you go. You could do that for 3 hours leading up to the Red Sox game tonight. Something tells me you're not going to do that.
We will not be doing that. We're going to talk quite a bit of, Patriots after their preseason dress rehearsal game last night. Some big takeaways at the quarterback position. Stidham looks like the guy. Hoyer looks like he's out. Brady looks like he's pissed at the world. So we're going to get to that.
All right. Jones and Arcan coming up next. Sorry, Boston. Jimmy Stewart, thank you. Brian Robb, thank you. Matt McCarthy in for Maz tonight. I think fully loaded on Monday. So you at least get
sure.
That. Yeah. Okay. We'll believe it. All right. Jones and Arcan coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.